Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey folks, good morning. Welcome to Taking It Outdoors. Going to talk a little salmon and trout fishing today as we welcome in some local charter captains into the studio. Please welcome from Class A Sport Fishing to the program, back to the program, Captain Matt French. Good to see you, pal.
Morning. Good morning, Jeremy.
I want to thank you for the rope assist a couple weeks ago on Canisius Lake. I was out launching my boat, and there was some dudes standing on the dock. I guess noticed I was having a little trouble and said, hey, I'll grab those ropes. And holy crap, it was Captain Matt. Good to see you again, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Also in studio, once again, frequent contributor to the program from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing, Rick Hijacki. How you been, Rick?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. From what I hear from other guys that do what you do, fishing is great once again this year. Yes or no?
Fantastic. Best I've seen in 30 years. I mean, the heydays are today.
Now, go ahead.
Yeah, no, we've had some great catches out there. We've got a really strong class of two-year-old fish out there, so the future looks very bright for Lake Ontario.
That's good. I remember last year when you guys were in about this time at Lake Ontario, the water was really high, and that's all that we were hearing about. And, you know, I was among those like, yeah, sorry about the property damage, but the fishing is awesome. So it's as good or better than last year?
I think it's better than last year, and last year was really, really good. So
I mean, you're talking to guys that have 30 years on Lake Ontario, and they're saying this is some of the best spring fishing they've ever seen.
Well, fantastic. Well, that must mean the charter business is booming. You guys staying busy?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people are getting out to enjoy it. I mean, the word's getting out that the fishing's really good. I mean, the weather hasn't been so great on the weekends, but we've still been able to get out.
We're busy chartering, but it's also great to see on the weekdays. You're seeing, you know, flotillas out there. So the word's getting out, like Matt just said, and people are actually using the resource and enjoying it.
Well, I've invited the guys in today to promote the Monroe County Offshore Classic. They were in this time last year talking up the event, and it's going to be held on June 30th. And now this is the second incarnation of this tournament?
Correct.
And last year was a home run?
Last year went really well. We had over 40 boats in the tournament, and fishing was pretty decent. And what else, Matt?
No, we, like Rick said, the fishing was really good. We had some big boxes of kings that came in. Unfortunately, I didn't have a big box of kings. I just had little guys. But we had the participation was fantastic. Like you previously said about the high water level, it kind of put a damper on some of the dockage that we had available, but people made the most of it and showed up for the first year. I was really pleased with how many people showed up.
Yeah, I was encouraged too, because if I remember correctly from our conversation, like we had been without hosting a tournament of this nature for many years, and that's kind of sad because we're a world-class destination. People come from all over the country and the globe to fish for the salmon and trout in our area. Again, the Monroe County Offshore Classic coming up June 30th, going to be held out of
Shumway Marina.
Fantastic. And we are joined in studio. That is Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing. Also, Captain Rick Hijacki is in studio with us. He's from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing. So how many boats are we anticipating this year? You always have a good little jump that next year. People want to see if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think we're going to at least get as many as we had last year, possibly some more, especially with the... It's not right on the 4th of July, right close to it. It's a few days before. And also, like I said earlier, the water level's pretty conducive. I mean, the Genesee River right now is completely loaded with pleasure boats, and people are actually getting out and enjoying it. So
What's the competition field like, Rick? I'll ask you this. Are the bulk of the competitors charter captains like you guys, pro fishing teams? Do you get a lot of weekend warriors involved, something for everybody here?
Actually, there's not as many charter captains fishing the tournament as you would think. I think a lot of guys don't want to show their hands sometimes. We've got a decent group of guys in Rochester that charter that are fishing the tournament, but this tournament last year pulled from all over Lake Ontario. So we had boats that came down from SOTUS and Port Bay. We had boats that came down from Sandy Creek, Oak Orchard. So we had some great pull for this event last year, and we're kind of expecting the same.
Now, if you want to get involved in the Monroe County Offshore Classic, let's first of all encourage, let's direct people to get signed up. If you want to get in on the competition here, I encourage you to go find the guy's Facebook page, Monroe County Offshore Classic. It's super easy to find. You can send a direct message to one of the captains on that page, and they'll get back to you for registration, or you can email Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing directly. His email address is mcso666@rochester.rr.com. What's the cost to get in this thing? Let's talk
It's $200 to get in. And just like last year, we take a portion of every entry and we donate it to a charity.
And what's the charity this year? Have we decided? Yeah, we did Mercy Flight, if I remember right, last year.
It was Mercy Flight last year. We're going to try to do a different one every year.
Good.
So this year it is
Dream Factory.
Dream Factory.
Oh, great outfit. Oh, man, you couldn't have picked a better outfit there. They definitely do great work. Oh, that's fantastic. So we're going to have more boats this year. Now let's talk about the competition. In the breakdown, this is salmon and trout. How do we compartmentalize this event?
What the competitors are allowed to weigh in is it's five fish. Only one of those five fish can be a lake trout. All the other fish have to be of New York State legal size. When you come to the weigh-in station to weigh in your catch, you can only have five fish in your cooler. So, you know, we did that to kind of protect the lake trout, you know, because they pretty much hang in the same water column, make it a little bit more competitive for guys to go out and catch fish. But it's also not a huge box of fish that regular Joe people on the weekend can go out and compete as well.
So Matt mentioned weigh-in real quick. So like we said earlier, the tournament is on June 30th, which is a Saturday. And if for some reason we have weather and we're not allowed to fish, we're going to move it to Sunday, which is July 1st. That being said, weigh-in starts at 3 o'clock at Shumway Marina up on the hill. So when you pull in, instead of making a left and going over to the bar, you go straight, and we'll be right up on the hill, and that's where the weigh-in will be. And last year, we had a really great crowd watching us weigh fishing. We had a couple of news stations that showed up and videoed some of that. And if you are looking for any fresh salmon or trout, there will be plenty there for you to take home. Because I'm sure everybody can't eat what they catch, but that's always a great benefit.
Absolutely, man. Your buddy Lucas Faulkner, I just happened to be at Bald Eagle Marina one day last year, and he was in a tournament, and it was like, can you eat some of this? I was like, hell yeah, man. Loaded up the cooler. I went home with his prize catch of the day there. Oh, that's very good. Again, if you're just joining us, we are joined in studio today by Captain Matt French and Captain Rick Hajeki. Captain Matt's from Class A Sport Fishing. Captain Rick is from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing. We're promoting the second annual, I guess we can call it, Monroe County Offshore Classic. It was a fantastic event last year, and the guys are looking to improve on it this year. Now, I know these tournaments, derbies, whatever incarnation they are, no matter what species they are, it's a lot of work. You know, there's guys that just show up, pay their money, and fish and have fun, and that's great. That's what they're all about. But a lot of work has to be done on the administrative end, and I guess that's where you guys in the Monroe County Charter Association comes into play. But these things don't happen without sponsors, and so if y'all want to take an opportunity to acknowledge some of them, please feel free.
Well, first off, just to correct you real quick, it's the Genesee Charter Boat Association, and not everybody has a boat to go out here and do this type of fishing. So our organization has, I want to say, probably upwards of 30 or 40 charter boats in the area that you can look up. So if you wanted to be involved in the tournament, but you don't have the equipment or the boat, you can go to this website, call up a few captains. If you've got some buddies, get three or four buddies together and tell them you want to fish the tournament on their boat. So that'll give you a nice taste of salmon and trout fishing and tournament fishing all in the same day. So just wanted to throw that out there. So as far as sponsors go, we've got a lot of sponsors that are returning for the second event, but I want to just throw out some that are local. Dan DeGeorge and DeGeorge Ceilings is one of the local sponsors. We've got Fish USA, which is an online tackle website that you can buy from. We also have Rich Palukas and his law firm, Fitzman's Nunn, Fitzman's and Palukas. They're coming back. We've got Bill Gray stepping up to the plate, The Retreat out in Greece stepping up to the plate, Amico Pizza. So there's a bunch of different restaurants, bars, and local companies that are stepping up to the plate.
That's good stuff. Bill Gray's loves the fishing community. They sponsor this show as well. That's
awesome. I love their hamburgers.
Yes, so who doesn't? Are you kidding? World's greatest. All right, we continue the conversation about the Monroe County Offshore Classic next. It's a one-day salmon and trout tournament based right here in our own backyard, happening on June 30th. We talk more about it next, right here on The Beat. Hey friends, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We're having a conversation today about the Monroe County Offshore Classic, a one-day salmon and trout tournament based right here in our own backyard, and it will go down on June 30th. There is still time for you to register. We'll get that information to you here again shortly. This morning's program brought to you by Johnston RV Country, Bill Gray's Restaurants, Flaherty's Macedon, and Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. We're joined in studio today by some charter captains from our area. We have Captain Rick Ajecki from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing, and we also have Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing. The guys are among the group that spearheads this tournament, which is in its second year, and they're looking to build on the success of last year's tournament. You know, one thing I've never asked you guys, what's your journey in angling? I guess you just didn't come out the womb a charter captain. Tell me, Captain Rick, how you ended up in your profession.
So my father had my brother and I out on Lake Ontario at the age of 5, 6, 7 years old, so I've been fishing out there for over 30 years. I guess as I got older into my early teens, I was pretty much my father's alarm clock on the weekend. So, you know, I'd jump out of bed, wake him up, get dressed, and we were headed out to pick up the boat, which we stored at my grandmother's house. When we got there, Grandpa was walking out with two bags, Wegmans bags full of candy and food. And then we'd spend the day on the boat. So, so basically I'm, you know, my father is who got me involved in this.
Well, what made you specialize in fishing the big lake? Is that just what they did?
That's what he did. So he did that. When I turned 18, I bought my own boat, which was a bass boat. So then from about the age of 18 to 25, I started to do more bass fishing tournaments. I fished at the state level for a few years. And then at 25, I got my captain's license, started the charter business. And that's when I started fishing salmon and trout tournaments and started running charters, and it just pretty much took over my life. So now that's what I do.
Now, why did you get bored with the bass? I know a lot of guys that fish like you guys fish, they spend a little time in bass fishing, but is it not as much of a challenge?
You know, bass fishing was fun, especially driving down the lake 60, 70 miles an hour in that bass boat, and they sure do look sexy, towed behind a truck that matches it. But when you're out on the bass boat, you're out there by yourself, or maybe you're with one other person. And to me, the salmon and trout thing, you're on a boat with 4 to 6, 7 people out there. It's, you're relaxed, you're having a good time, you're drinking, you're eating. When you're bass fishing, you constantly have a rod in your hand, you're constantly casting. When I used to bass fish, at least, the only time I would eat anything was when I was ripping up to the next spot.
Yeah.
So it's just more of a social event. It's kind of like deer hunting versus duck hunting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I get that.
So I really enjoy the camaraderie out on the boat. And let's be honest, when I used to go fish bass tournaments, the gas, the lodging, the tournament fees, everything came out of my pocket. With salmon and trout tournaments, and you know, and that can be expensive, especially when you're, you know, you're fishing the state tournament up in Champlain or Lake George, where you've got a 4 or 5 hour drive, then you got to get hotels. But with salmon and trout tournaments, you're out there with our team typically consists of 5 people. It helps to split expenses. You've got a constant conversation going on the boat, and it's just a lot more fun to me.
Is salmon and trout fishing more of a chess game? Like, is it more of a thinking man's fishing? Because I know with bass fishing, you know your patterns. You know what I mean? You know the lakes you fish. You know I'm going to catch them one of these 7 ways
yep.
today. But out on the big lake, is it more of a thinking man's game?
So with salmon, the difference between bass and salmon and trout, bass typically relate to structure. With the exception of some of the lakes down south that have the blueback herring, and they're more of a fish that roams around and follows these blueback herring schools. Up here in the state, up here in New York, it's weeds, rocks, docks. I mean, they just associate themselves with structure. Lake Ontario salmon and trout fishing is all about currents, water temperatures. They're just a pelagic fish. They're swimming all over the place, and they're going with the thermoclines. They're following the schools of bait. So it's just a little bit. It's a little bit tougher to dial them in, and just because you had them one day doesn't mean you're going to have them the next day. Something's always changing, and it's making it tough. So it's never the same day when you get out there.
He is Captain Rick Hajeki from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing. If you're looking for him online, I don't have in front of me, crazyyankeesportfishing.com.
Yes.
Thought I remembered that from previous appearances. Now, Captain Matt French, don't think for 1 second you escaped the biography portion of this segment. What's your story? You grew up here, right?
Yep, grew up in Rochester. Yep.
What introduced you into fishing? What made you the sick and twisted angler before me today?
Much like Rick, my dad, he took me out as a kid. He would tie me into the boat when I was a toddler going out in the boat. That was his weekend to get away or the day to get away, but he had to take me along and my brother. And I fished the very first Eslo back in the 70s with him and went to Michigan, Lake Michigan, fished over there. And ever since then, every family vacation we've had from when I was a kid until I moved out of the house has all been geared around fishing, whether it was, you know, going down to Florida and fishing saltwater and Venezuela 1 year or, you know, going to Disney and fishing the bass in Disney, which I've done a bunch of times, or going to the Thousand Islands. We used to go to the Thousand Islands all the time. And then, you know, I started getting into, you know, taking my friends out salmon fishing. And I'm like, you know what? Gas is getting expensive. I mean, and the equipment isn't cheap. And, you know, it was more of a challenge of taking people out that had no idea that this resource was in our backyard. And to this day, I still get people from the area that have lived here their whole life, never even knew there was salmon in the lake and never knew it was that much fun to go out.
And they don't understand that we probably have one of the best salmon fisheries in the entire country. When you think of salmon, everybody thinks of Alaska, and they've got a few rivers that produce some real slobs. But for the most part, that fishery is on a decline, and they're closing those fisheries off because they're getting horrible returns from the ocean. You know, Michigan, they have a decent fishery still, but as far as numbers and size go, Lake Ontario is probably one of the top salmon fisheries in the country.
Now, our crown jewel of salmon is the Chinook and the Coho around here, right?
The Chinook rules. That's the one that grows the biggest, the fastest, fights the hardest. I mean, if a Coho were to live 3-4 years and get to that 30-pound mark, they would thrash a Chinook, but that just doesn't happen. Your typical Coho is right now 15 to 20 inches, and come fall time, they'll be 10 or 12 pounds. But those are your two most common salmon that you find in Lake Ontario.
Why do those thrive here when the others don't? Just habitat, like you said?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Just like other lakes are probably known for other salmon. Like, what is it about Lake Ontario that's so conducive to the Chinook?
We've got some, you know, as much as people don't like the dirty water, you know, the high water last year with all that rain brought a lot of nutrients into the lake. We've got the algae blooms on Lake Erie, which nobody wants to talk about, but all that is good for your food chain. So you've got your bottom levels of your food chain, and then it just starts going up. So that phosphorus level, that nutrients in the water really help the bait fish. And we've got a great bait fish population right now, and it just, you know, it just goes right up the chain, and that's why we have such a great fishery.
When fishing is your business, do you ever go out just for the hell of it, just to have fun, not for work? Are you still able to do that?
Well, I do.
I absolutely do as well. If I have like a, say I have a trip on a Saturday and I have a Friday evening off, a lot of times what I'll do is jump in the boat, go out, try to find fish for the next morning, get an idea where they are, and then come in. And this way it cuts down on a little bit of hunting time. Per se.
Oh, Monday night there, I jumped in the boat on over at Small Boat Harbor at 6 o'clock, and I showed back up on my front door at 5:30 the next morning. Never batted an eye and fished all night.
Oh man, you guys, I think I'm living the dream. I think I got the best job, but I'm way down the list. I may be a top 10, but you guys are definitely up at the top of that. We are joined in studio by Captain Matt French. He is from Class A Sport Fishing. If you're looking for him online, what's your website, Matt?
ClassASportFishing.com.
I probably could have figured that out. And that's Rick Ajeki next to him. The other voice you hear in the studio from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing at CrazyYankeeSportFishing.com. If somebody's just joining us, they probably missed all the information on the Monroe County Offshore Classic that's just coming up. So let's kind of recap that in the beginning of the next segment and continue our conversation about these salmon and trout. That happens next right here on The Bee. Hey friends, welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. I'm joined in studio this morning by some local charter boat captains. We have Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing, also Captain Rick Ajeki from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing. We're letting everybody know about the Monroe County Offshore Classic this morning, a one-day salmon and trout tournament right here in Monroe County. This morning's broadcast made possible thanks to Johnston RV Country, 30 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster and Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Thank you to Bill Gray Restaurants, also Flaherty's Macedon and Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. The Monroe County Offshore Classic, one day salmon and trout tournament in Monroe County. If somebody's just joining the program, missed the first segment when we gave out the details, when you guys want to put the event in a nutshell real quick?
Yep. It's a, like you said, one day trout and salmon tournament. It's out of the ports of Rochester and Irondequoit Bay. It's five fish total, only one lake trout. $200 to get in per boat, many guys as you want in the boat, and $50 of each entry goes to a charity, and our charity is, Rick?
Dream Factory.
Good stuff. Salmon and trout tournament. It only makes sense that we host this here. The guys were talking about what a great fishery we have for both of those species right here in our own backyard. So this is an opportunity for salmon and trout anglers of all skill levels to get involved. If you want more information, I encourage you to find their Facebook page. It's probably the easiest bet. Go to Facebook and just search Monroe County Offshore Classic, and it pops right up, and you can send a direct message there if you want to get in on this action. Now, with the payouts of this event, do y'all just have a predetermined number of spots you pay out, or will that grow with the number of entries that you have?
It's about one out of every four entries gets paid.
Yeah, we're shooting at least 10 payouts this year. I mean, that obviously it all depends on how many boats we get in, but I'd like to see it as 10 boats this year.
So what approximately, if you had to just throw a number, just so I can be envious, what's the winner going to go home with?
Winner last year went home with a few thousand, right?
Yeah.
That's all right. That's a good day, good compensation for for a day of fishing. Now, one thing I always admire about you guys that fish the big lake, you really, I know you don't have to be, but a lot of the really talented, successful guys really have mastered their electronics. And that is just something that I can't get the hang of. I got the fancy crap, but I don't know what the heck I'm looking at. I can see bottom. I can see grass. I got a side scan. I don't know what the heck I'm going on. But how do you guys, is it just trial and error? How do you get the hang of it? Is it just time spending with it? Because once you really learn how to use your electronics, it puts you in a whole different category, right?
Yeah, and we've got different electronics for what we do versus what a bass guy might have on his boat. So we've got electronics that give us speed and water temperature. Speed because we're trolling, we're constantly moving, so we want to hit that right speed or whatever speed works for our spread. Water temperature is very crucial. Once the thermocline sets up in the summertime, that's where you'll find a lot of your bait fish, and your predators aren't going to be very far behind those. So temperature is very important when we're out there. But as far as your fish finder goes, we don't use a lot of the down and side imaging like they do in walleye and bass fishing, because we're not looking for structure. And that's really what that's for, is looking for structure. We're just using your traditional sonar, which is a cone that shoots down, and you'll see arches on your graph, and that then indicates a fish below you.
So will you just head to a specific area you know that's on, or will you just drive around until you notice activity?
Yeah, so on our boats, we've got transducers that are pretty much through the hull of the boat. They're not in the transom. So we can run around 15, 20, 25 miles an hour, and we can mark bait fish pods. Because a bait fish, they school up, and they create this big blob on your fish finder. Okay. So we can run around until we start marking those. When you start marking bait, like I said, the predators aren't going to be too far behind them. And you can tell by looking at certain types of bait on your screen whether there are predators around or not. So when we've got bait pods, so on your fish finder, you've got different levels of intensity on the colors. So let's say for this example, red is the strongest return on your fish finder. When you've got a pod of bait that's bright red, what bait does when predators are around is they ball up, so they make themselves look bigger. So we can tell by looking at that cloud of bait that there's probably some salmon or trout near it. But if you've got a cloud of bait that's really loose and the returns aren't as big because they're smaller fish, so let's say in this case, blue might be the weakest return, and it's blue and it just really doesn't look like it's balled up, there's probably not much around that, so we just keep going.
Yeah, they're not, their butt cheeks aren't clenched up.
Right.
So when you find this big ball that's bunched up, do you try to get your bait in the middle of that ball and run with it, or do you fish behind it?
Yep, you want to be right around that bait. So you want to, typically, like I said, the bait will hang around the thermocline, so you want to put a few baits above it, a few baits below it, a few baits at it. So we've got multiple downriggers around the boat, which basically you hook a heavy lead ball to it, and you can send that ball down to whatever depth you want, whether it's 20, 30, 70, or 100 foot. Wherever you're marking fish, that allows you to bring a lure down to that area.
That's crazy, man. I mean, me as a bass guy, I mean, if I catch a fish in 27 feet of water, I'm like, holy crap. I mean, I had to, you know, go to the deepest depths for this thing. So it just blows me away, the depths in which you guys fish. Now, seasonally with the salmon, I'll go to you, Captain Matt. During the summer, they tend to go deeper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have they made that transition already now that we're getting the warmer weather? Or
not,
are they still
not quite
in?
Yet. Not quite yet. The other day, I was getting them in the top 50 feet of water. It was still cold. The water is... But like, later on in the summer, you're going to get them relatively deep. I mean, I've caught them down as deep as 140, 150 feet down. I've taken fish. I know Rick has taken them deeper than that. But you're looking for that colder water. And it also depends on the time of the day, too. Like first thing in the morning, those fish may be up out of temperature, and they may be feeding on those bait fish. Like Rick said, the balls of bait that are all mashed together as a defense mechanism, that's one of the big things. But later in the day, as the fish become negative and less active, they tend to drop down in the water column, and that's where you'd have to move your baits to.
Yeah, and because in New York State, the salmon fishery in Lake Ontario, whether it's summer out in the lake or fall on the river, pretty much drives more fishing licenses are sold because of the salmon fishery in New York than pretty much anything else. So our DEC is really starting to study and want to understand what these salmon are doing. And we've got tags on them that are giving us telemetry data. And it's nothing for a salmon to go sit down on the bottom in 400, 500, 600 feet of water when they're not eating. So, yeah, once summer comes and you want to go and fish deep salmon, you definitely can do that out there.
All right, dumb question of the day brought to you by Johnson RV Country. Is catching a tagged fish like shooting a banded waterfowl?
That's more rare. I think for you to catch a fish that has a tag on it right now would be, I mean, one or two of them get caught a year. I mean, they're not tagging a lot of fish.
Oh, I hear you.
So,
Have you ever caught a tagged fish, Rick?
I caught a tagged fish from the Credit River. It was a steelhead, and that was the only tag I ever caught.
Yep.
Yeah? What is it, just like a little needle they stick in them with a barb, and it's like a little, looks like a little drop shot weight or something?
Yep. So that one was, and that was done by it wasn't done by the M&R up in Canada. It was more of a private club that did that tagging, but now we've got the M&R and the DEC working together on these salmon tags, and these are actually the size of maybe, I don't know, a little bit, about the size of one of those floaty keychains you put on your boat key, right? And it's attached to the salmon, and after 2 years, it pops off, floats up, and it shoots a GPS signal over, and they go and they grab it. But Lake Ontario is littered with transmitters as well, and they're doing walleye studies and all other type of studies. So every time a fish swims by this this little transmitter, it records it, and then they go out and they receive or they pick up these transmitters and record all the data. So they were doing a lot of cool studies on Lake Ontario.
Damn, when I look out on the water, I don't know half of that crap's going on. That's great. I take all that stuff for granted, but it's awesome to know that it's happening there. I'm in studio with Captain Rick Ajecki from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing, also Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing. We're promoting this year's Monroe County Offshore Classic, a one-day salmon and trout tournament right here in our own backyard out of Shumway Marina.
Yes,
and
sir.
It will go down on June 30th. You guys got the time for one more segment. I'd love to throw a couple more salmon and trout questions at you if you got time. And if so, we can do that next right here, 92.5 WBEE. Hey, friends, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors, a show we do each and every Sunday morning all about hunting, fishing, camping, anything under the sun. As long as you enjoy it and it happens outside, it is topic of conversation on this program. Today, talking a little salmon and trout fishing. We are very excited for the Monroe County Offshore Classic to return, a one-day salmon and trout tournament out of Shumway Marina on June 30th. If you want to get in on this competition, and it is a wonderful event that benefits the Dream Factory and some great competition, great camaraderie, an all-encompassing, a great event. If you want to get more information on it, I encourage you to visit the Facebook page for the Monroe County Offshore Classic. You can also email directly Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing. His email address, write this down, mcso666@rochester.rr.com. Still got that Roadrunner address, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hanging on. Got a death grip on that bad boy. Good for you. That is Captain Matt French from Class A Sport Fishing. Online, he's at classasportfishing.com. Also in studio with us today, I mentioned before, Captain Rick Ajecki. You can find him online at crazyyankeesportfishing.com. Can you guys tell me about the seasonal changes in a salmon's diet? Can you walk me through the calendar year? Let's just start right now. What are they chomping on?
They're starting to feed on. I caught some with smelt in them the other day, and then they're starting to get into the alewives that are out there. Some smaller alewives are getting caught or getting taken out of the fish now that I've seen. Steelhead. When we have steelhead, they'll be out eating bugs off the surface. We get a little bug hatch out in the lake. They'll be eating off the surface. Probably one of my favorite ways to fish for steelhead is off the surface, offshore, on temperature breaks and stuff. Rick, what are you seeing when you're filleting your fish?
Up west where we're at right now in Niagara County, we're getting a lot of emerald shiners in the cohos and the steelhead. So that's another forage base out there. And then inshore, if you're around some of the bays like Irondequoit, Sodus, Port Bay, some of your trout, your brown trout and stuff like that are eating gizzard shad.
Very good. Another dumb question. That's two dumb questions of the day. Can you guys speak? I mean, do you have any experience fishing the northern shore of Lake Ontario? Is that a different ball of wax up there compared to what we do down here?
Yeah, I fished Oswego and up that way. You know, the northeast part of the lake. You fish over in Canada a lot.
Yep.
I know there's a ton of current up on the east end of the lake. And you got to be ready for some big waves up that end also to fish in.
As far as the North Shore goes, where I fish, basically about the center of the lake to the west, so near the Toronto area, they've got a much different fishery up there. It's basically just a salmon fishery up there. They don't have the trout species we have down in New York. In New York, you can go out to just about any port. You can target brown trout, lake trout, steelhead, salmon. Up on the North Shore, it's just a salmon bite. And it could be one of the best salmon bites of the season up there. That's where they go in the summertime. There's a lot more cooler water up there. That's why they hang out in the North Shore before they make their journey back to do their spawning ritual. But the North Shore is a fun fishery.
Go ahead. Were you going to say something? How much of a pain in the butt is it to get legal to fish that side of the lake?
It's really not that tough, especially crossing by boat. You call up customs. You answer a few questions. As long as you don't have any bad boys on your boat, they don't really mess with you.
Yeah, you can't have a deckhand from Al-Qaeda or anything like that.
No, they do not like DWIs up there, so if your buddy's got a DWI, you don't bother going.
No, that's, you know, I've heard that. You're not the first person I've ever heard mention that. How many lines are you allowed to have in the water? Does it depend on how many guys are in the boat, or is it just X amount per boat?
It's three lines per person. New York State is legal.
But I don't think there's many guys that are even taking advantage of that. I mean, it's great if you've got two guys in the boat, you can run six rods. But on a typical charter, we've got four people, the captain and the mate.
It's too many.
I don't run more than eight ever in the summertime.
Would they get twisted up? Or?
Yeah, I mean, these salmon don't just hit and come in. When you catch a salmon, it's a pretty epic battle. They strike. I've had them take 700-800 feet of line out before they even stop after the initial strike. And then you've got to battle them back. They take second and third runs. This time of year, when you're catching them in the top 50, because the water's so cold, they're very spunky. So I had one pass the boat on Sunday. We had to turn the boat, and he just gave us all sorts of hell at the back of the boat.
Now, do you guys put something different on each line to give them a variety, and you'll see what they're hitting, and then you'll maybe go to that? How does your strategy work there as far as what you're trolling with?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a match the hatch guy. I think you can go out and buy a million different colored lures. I look at what they're eating. If they're eating emerald shiners, I might throw a blue and silver spoon out, or something with a little bit of green in it. You know, green is always my go-to color. Green and silver, black and white, black and silver, something like that. I'll start off with that, and then if they're not getting chewed, then I go to, you know, you have your second lineup, your plan B, second string, as I like to call it. Put your second string out, and as soon as you start getting chewed on one spoon, then you're like, all right, which spoons didn't get chewed here? Maybe I try to switch it out so it's something similar to that.
And now, you guys, I just admire your expertise and the fact that you're confident enough to say, hey, man, you pay me money, I'm going to take you out and get on fish. If I had that skill, I wouldn't be sitting in this room with you two today. I would be promoting a fishing tournament somewhere. So I just admire that skill set that you guys have.
It wasn't always easy, though. When I started, it would bug me until we got on the fish. Now, you know, I think I've built enough confidence up where if I'm not getting bit in the first hour or two, you know, we're out there for 8 hours, and it's a big lake, and we've got lots of friends. You're going to figure it out eventually in that day, and you're going to get some bites.
So there's no skunks? You never get skunked anymore?
I got skunked once in my 12 years of chartering, and it was an afternoon trip. And they came back the following morning, and I looked up at them. I said, why are you here? I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And we went out that next morning, fished very similar water that we were in the night before, absolutely smoked them, and they walked away with a 30-pound king.
Dude, if you were a professional, you know, Major League Baseball pitcher that had one bad outing in his career, you'd be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Congratulations. How about you, truth serum? Come on, shoot me straight.
You know, I've had some bad charters before. I mean, you go out and you want people to catch fish, but I'm to the point now where it's like, okay, it's my job to get the rods to go off. It's the customer's job to bring them in. If you lose a fish, you lose a fish. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not going to yell at you for losing a fish or
liar.
Get upset. No, I'm not a yeller.
Matt French, not lying.
Then you yell at me?
No, I'm not a yeller and all that. But.
I hear you. You're passionate. You're
sure.
A passionate guy. I'm the same way when I see people, you know, I take bass fishing and they're trying to muscle a 3-pound fish back to the boat on 6-pound line. I'm like, whoa, hey. I started shouting at them to take their time, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
You're just in the moment. It's not anger, it's enthusiasm.
And it's also all about having a good time. You know, if you take people out and you want them to have a good time, you want them to experience the lake. I mean, like I said before, a lot of the people that live in this area have no idea that we have this resource.
Well, it's not even just this resource. I mean, Rochester isn't huge on the outdoors, but we've got, just in New York State alone, we've got the most amazing walleye fishery in Lake Erie. Lake Ontario has probably one of the best salmon and trout fisheries in the country. You've got some of the best bass lakes. I mean, when you see the Elite Series coming up here and fishing Cayuga, Oneida, the St. Lawrence River, we've got world-class bass fishing. So, and then look at the Niagara River and the St. Lawrence River, and you've got some of the best muskie fishing. I mean, New York State has it all, and people really need to start taking advantage of it.
We need to take advantage of it as New Yorkers. I don't want people from out of state coming here too much, you know. And then they start getting into stuff we could otherwise have gotten into. All very good points, man. I shout it from the rooftops. These two gentlemen in the studio with me are some of the best in the game. He is Rick Hajeki from Crazy Yankee Sport Fishing. You can find out more information on Captain Rick at crazyyankeesportfishing.com. Also, Captain Matt French with us, Class A Sport Fishing. If you want more information on Captain Matt. Again, to recap quickly, it's coming up quick. June 30th, a one-day salmon and trout tournament in Monroe County, the Monroe County Offshore Classic, a wonderful event benefiting the Dream Factory this year. I hope it's a you guys improve upon last year's success, and anytime you need help getting the word out, you know you can always count on us here at Taking It Outdoors. So best of luck to you at your event, guys. Thanks for your time coming in, and be safe when you get out on that water, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.